Well, this morning we're going to be sharing part 7 of our series in Philippians. If you want to turn into your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Believe it or not, I was planning on sharing Philippians, and it just happened to be about moms. Isn't that cool? So Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. We're going to look at this, the end, really the rest of chapter 2. And it's going to speak to us about some examples. Really an example of one mother in particular. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 30. The title of the message is The Guiding Hand of a Mother. The Guiding Hand of a Mother. A few weeks ago, we talked about, actually on Easter Sunday, Paul told us that we needed to be humble like Christ Jesus in chapter 2, verse 5. He's going to tell us how we need to live the Christian life there. That message will be on the website real soon if you want to download that. Last time we got together and he particularly said to continue following his instructions now that he was far away. It's important. And he said to work hard to share the results of our salvation, if you remember that last week. To do everything without complaining, to live clean and innocent lives and hold firmly to the Word. He was talking about how we serve. How we serve, how we live lives of faith. Today as we get into verse 19, we're going to get examples of two men who are living those lives. Examples of two men who are living those lives. Chapter 2, verse 19, it says, Jesus, help us, Lord. Let's pray. Help us as we look at your Word and speak to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. If the Lord Jesus is willing, verse 19, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Okay, let's hold up. Who was this man, Timothy? What do we know of Timothy? Well, Timothy was a young man. Here we see a picture of him with his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois together. Speaking to Timothy's life. Let me give you their story, their family tree coming up. We have Lois. Lois was a woman. She's a Jew who lived in the city of Lystra. She loved God and followed Him. She had a daughter one day. Her name was Eunice. Eunice, Jewish like her mother, loved God, followed Him. One day, Eunice meets this guy. They get married. Here's a picture of this guy. I think this is really his picture. I'm not sure. It's the best archaeological research I could find. She meets this guy. We don't know his name. They have a child named Timothy. Okay. I love that picture. One day, the Apostle Paul came through their town. Oh yeah, he's got an X because we really don't know what happened to this man. At some point, he's not in the picture anymore. So, it's believed that Eunice was probably a single mom because we don't hear about him anymore. He could have died, he could have ran off as a traveling salesman for leisure suits. We're not really sure what he did, but he's no longer in the picture at some point. The Apostle Paul comes through town on his first missionary journey. He comes through Lystra. He's preaching the gospel. An amazing thing happens. Eunice and Lois and their son Timothy get saved. Isn't that cool? They get saved. They knew about the God of the Old Testament. And they came through and said Jesus was the Messiah. They came through and preached Jesus was the Son of God who came, lived the perfect life on earth, was murdered and died on the cross. But guess what? He rose again, proving that He was God. And because He had no sin of His own, because Jesus lived the perfect life without sin, when He died, He didn't die for His own sin. He died for the sins of the world who would believe Him and who would accept His penalty on the cross. The Bible tells us that all of us are sinners, right? Anybody here never did anything wrong or never had a bad thought in your heart? We've all done that. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. God's standard is what? Holiness and perfection. It has to be, because God is perfectly pure, perfectly holy, perfectly perfect. Adam and Eve walked with God. When they sinned, they had to leave the garden because they were no longer perfect. We needed to have somebody come to bridge the gap between sinful man and perfect God. And the only one that could be was God Himself, born as Jesus, who lived the perfect life. And He bridged the gap between us and God and made us right with God. They received this message with gladness, that their sins could be forgiven. It wasn't through the animal sacrifices at the time. It was through the Lamb of God who we sang about today. Good news, right? They received that message with gladness. They followed Jesus. Time went on, and Paul continued down the road and preached. And when the time came, Paul went out on his second missionary journey. The second journey. If you have a Bible, actually, in the back, you may have maps of Paul's missionary journeys. On his second missionary journey, he comes to this town again, and he finds the young man, Timothy, has now grown up to an adult. An adult who loved God. The Bible said that Eunice, Timothy's mom, poured the scriptures into his heart. That she taught him from the Bible at a very early age. So Timothy grew, loved the Lord, was now a man. And at this time, when Paul comes back and sees him as a grown man, he invites him to go out with him preaching, to share the gospel and the rest of his journey. And Timothy goes. Timothy accepts the invitation and goes, and his mother allows him to go to serve God. Timothy winds up with Paul even in jail. At this time, as you know, when we're reading this letter, Timothy wrote this from jail in Rome. Here we see an artist's representation of an older Paul giving the words to a young Timothy to write down. Flip over to chapter 1 in your Bible, and can somebody read verse 1 to me? Who wants to read verse 1? You want to read it, Joel? Can you read that for me? Yeah. Yeah, 1:1. If you can just read that out loud.
This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ. I am writing to all God's holy people in Philippians who belong to Jesus Christ, including the elders and the deacons.
Great, thank you. So who is the letter from? Paul and Timothy. Timothy ended up co-writing books of the Bible. Wow. Isn't that neat? The young man, he was saved as a young boy on Paul's first trip. On his second trip, he has grown up, and Paul sees the maturity in his life, and he knows, we read in Acts 16 about how they meet up, and Paul sees that Timothy is mature now, invites him to go. He goes in the ministry and serves Paul. That's very cool. And he's in prison writing the very words we're reading with Paul, serving him many years later. Timothy continues on in the ministry. He ends up becoming a bishop and serving in the city of Ephesus, I believe it is. Man of God, loves God, lives for Him as an older adult. In fact, while he's in the city, one day there were people worshiping pagan gods, and Timothy begins to rebuke them, saying, "What are you doing? You need to worship the living God. Stop worshiping pagan gods. They're not real gods. Jesus is God." He gets those people angry at him. But in spite of the riot that began, he continued to proclaim. In Fox's Book of Martyrs, it speaks to us, telling us that that crowd got so angry at Timothy that they grabbed their clubs and they literally beat him to death because he would not stop preaching Christ. Timothy became a man who would preach Christ even in the face of opposition, and he didn't care. Side note, how could he do that and not be afraid of the crowd? Some of you may be thinking, poor Timothy, he got beat up for sharing Jesus. I don't know that I want to share Jesus if it means I might get beat up. I want to encourage you, don't make that application. Because if Timothy were here today, he would not want you to say, poor Timothy. In fact, that would be insulting to him and his legacy. He would want you to see the fact that he stood for Christ even when it wasn't popular. Where's Timothy now? He's with Jesus in heaven. And we who are faithful Christians will see him one day. Timothy would not want you to say, poor Timothy. Timothy would want you to look at his life and give glory to Jesus and say, Lord, may I stand for you as well. May I stand for what's right, regardless of what my friends say, regardless of what my family says, right? Regardless of what's popular and what's not popular, regardless of if they put a microphone in front of my mouth and interview me, and everybody's going to get hacked off like, I don't know, Miss California. Right? Isn't that ridiculous? She had an opinion, which I would agree with. And the world's mad because you're allowed to have an opinion, providing it's their opinion. Providing it's heathenistic. You're allowed to have that opinion. You're not allowed to have an opinion that comes and is in line with God's Word. Timothy didn't care, stood for Christ in spite of death, and now he's in heaven with the Lord. Wow, I just gave you every answer in the world. Well, we're going to run through these. Hey, Bobby, if you want to look at the other ones and make sure for the other two guys they don't click all at once, that would be great. Let's look at Eunice. What do we know about her life? Well, she was possibly a single mom. We know that. Possibly a single mom. The dad's not in the picture. Well, what does that mean? That means she had to work hard if she was a single mom. That's one income, right? She had to work hard to raise her child. And she may have had more children. That I don't know, to be honest with you. He may have had other brothers and sisters. We don't know. So as we read this, I want to thank those of you who are mothers who work hard for your family. That is a good thing. We just looked at the life of Timothy. And we saw how his life turned out. We give honor to Eunice today for being a mother who had a child who turned out to be so good. Thank you for the mothers in here who worked or have worked in the past. Even if you're a grandmother today, you still worked hard for your children and your grandchildren and perhaps great-grandchildren. Anybody have great-grandchildren? I know a few of you. Anybody have great-great-grandchildren? Yeah, you have great-great ones? Do you have great-great-great? No? So they're great, but they're not that great, right? Is that what you're telling us? But thank you for those who worked hard. She also taught her child the Scriptures. We know this because in the book of Timothy, where we see Paul writing to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, I think it's 2 Timothy 3:15, if I'm right on that reference. But Paul is telling Timothy to continue in the Scriptures that he was taught from childhood. He was taught the Word of God from childhood. Mothers, today I'm going to encourage you to continue teaching your children the Scriptures. Really, everything we say to mothers probably will be applicable to fathers today. It is Mother's Day, so I'm going to say mothers, and I want to encourage all the dads here. And all the future dads, to just, you can flip that to fathers as well, because it can apply to all of us. But mothers, continue to teach your word, the Scriptures. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Will you see it right away in their lives? Maybe. Maybe not. But years and years and years and years and years later, your children will become more godly, Lord willing, if we pour the word of God in them. Amen. They have a better chance. Now understand, children have free will and they can choose to go their own way as adults. But I want you to know, if you planted the seed within them, that's the best you can do as a parent. Right? And honestly, if you have kids that have walked away from the Lord, pray for them, because that seed that was planted is still there. Amen? That seed is still there. And we pray that God will... Sometimes we have to pray that God will break our kids so they can see that He's still alive. Do you know what I mean by that? That sometimes they have to hit rock bottom before they see that Jesus wants to work in their lives. Sometimes we have to pray that. Sometimes we have to pray, Lord, bring them to you before they hit rock bottom. But sometimes we need to say, I trust them into your hands, Lord. Work in their lives. If your kids are older and grown, pray for them. You could still share Scripture with them. You have to be careful because sometimes older kids will spite you for that. But you have to pray for the opportunity. But when they're your minor children, I don't care if my daughter gets mad at me or not, we're going to share Scripture, right? Pour into their lives. You will make a difference. She received Christ and encouraged her son in the faith. She received Christ and encouraged her son. Encourage your children in the faith. Share the Word of God, but encourage them. Here's probably a hard one. She let her son go into the ministry. I should say ministry. To be a missionary, perhaps, with Paul. She let her son go. Anybody here, you as a mother, you've had to let your kids go? Any of you have older children? How difficult is that? That's hard. And to be honest, I can't even relate to that yet. You know, I don't want to let my kid go anywhere unless I'm there with her. Including the tubes at Chuck E. Cheese, the tunnels. I want to get in those tunnels so bad I just can't fit. But I don't want to let my kid go without me. Not to be overprotective, because that just looks like fun too. So they didn't have that stuff when I was a kid. You just had the merry-go-round where the teenagers would spin you till you shot off. That's what we had. Remember that?
Yeah.
You're 6 years old. These high school seniors are spinning you. And you're just hanging on to not fly off into a tree. And you see these kids shoot off, right? How many have seen kids shoot off a merry-go-round? Yeah, they go fast, don't they? And you're just yelling, drop and roll, tuck and roll. So, but anyway, it's tough to let your kids go. It's tough. But you know what? I guess the best thing to do in that time is to pray for them and know that you did all you can in the Lord for them and continue to pray and continue to love and support. And we trust God that God will work in their lives. Because it's not so much letting your kid go off by themselves. It's more like placing them in the hands of a loving God who loves them even more than you do. That's a neat thought. God in heaven loves my daughter more than I do, and I love my daughter. But He loves her even more than I do. So we trust Him. But this mother let him go. I think it's also neat that she let him go with Paul, who was a seasoned minister, who wasn't just some clown coming through town. Be careful who you let your kids go with. Amen? And you know what? If you've been around the faith enough, you know people who pretend they love Jesus, and they don't. Right? I'll never forget being so impressed with this man who, he was a pastor, and I heard him pray. And I thought, man, I want to be able to pray like him with such power. Come to find out he was a disgustingly terrible dad who abused his children and really didn't love the... I don't know, maybe I can't say he didn't love the Lord, but he loved himself more than he loved Jesus. Watch who you let your kids run off with. But when the time is right, we need to let them go and trust God. What a great example that she had. Last one, she had the privilege of watching her child grow into a great man of God. That is cool. For those of you who you still have younger children, continue to pour in their lives, and I pray you would have the privilege of seeing that. For those of you who are older, a lot of you I know with speaking to you, your children are grown, but there were flashes in their lives where you knew the Lord was there, and you knew they knew the Lord was there. For some of you, they're still serving the Lord today. For some of you, they're not right now. But they know the Lord is at work. You know, deep down inside, no matter what they say in their heart cries a different story. And we'll continue to pray that we'll be privileged to see them grow into great men and women. Amen? Great men and women of God. Just because somebody says, I don't believe in God. I heard that yesterday. Somebody told me, so-and-so doesn't believe in God. I said, well, that's fine. They know in their heart. You know what I mean? That's fine. They can say they don't believe in God. I don't care. The Lord knows, and they know. So, but we trust the Lord. Amen? What a great example here. We didn't even really get into the text yet, but that sets the background for Timothy. We just have a few things we're going to highlight in the life of Timothy, and then we're going to look at the life of Epaphroditus, who is not Timothy's brother. Epaphroditus had a mom, I'm sure, somewhere. So we're going to still attribute his life to a faithful mother nonetheless. We're going to look at Timothy here. Let's continue on verse 19. If the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what happens to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. Like a son with his father, he has served with me in preaching the good news. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what is going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to you soon. Again, if you notice, he said, like a father with his son. I think in some ways, Paul was like his adopted dad. It looks like Timothy didn't have a father as he grew older anyway. And Paul was pouring into his life. Let's look at Timothy. And we're going to see, I think, four things here that'll speak to us. In verse 20, it said he genuinely cares about others. It says, I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. You see, we can look at Timothy, and I want to encourage us as men too. In this part, we're going to look at Timothy and Epaphroditus and ladies as well, and look at their lives and see what we can learn from them. The first thing is he genuinely cares about others. My question for you now is, do you know anybody who would pretend that they care about you when they really don't? Can I see a hand there? Yeah, they would say they do, but they really don't care at all about you. In word they do, in heart and mind, they're not even paying attention. Timothy, as a great man of God, really did care. I want to encourage us today, all of us in this room, to begin to be people who aren't, or continue being people who aren't just going to say one thing and mean something else. That we genuinely care. We genuinely care. The problem, I think, is usually it's not that we don't care at all. The problem is that we usually care more about ourselves to care about others, right? That I can put me on a pedestal and I can't care about you if I'm caring more about me. Timothy wasn't that way. He really cared about others. If you don't care about other people, and you know in your heart, if you think, you know, a lot of times I find myself not caring about others, if it's you, I want you to pray this week and ask the Lord to help you care more about other people. Because we know, don't we, whether or not we truly care about others. And I think the problem is usually we're caring about other stuff, and a lot of times it can be ourselves more than we can care about others. And that's not good. Timothy is a man who cared about others genuinely. He didn't just say the words. I also want to encourage you to not just say the words, you know? That's something that I've really been pushing myself with, to be honest with you. Because it's easy to say, I'll pray for you and never pray for them. And I want to make sure that I pray for you when I say I'm going to pray for you. That's why we do those communication cards too on the bulletins. When you write those requests, I pray for you. And that reminds me, it's a tangible reminder. I have them in my Bible. All week I did. Now they're in my bag, actually, from last week. And I put them on my desk at work. And I would go through. And I would pray for you. And when you made a commitment on the back, I commit to do whatever for the Lord. I'm looking at that. And I said, Lord, pray for Maria, who made this commitment. Pray for Lou. Pray for Brian, right? Lord, really pray for Bill. Where's Bill? There he is. He needs you more, Lord. He genuinely cared about others. Look at verse 22. Here's your next blank on your bulletin. He cared about Christ more than himself. Look at verse 22, or 21 rather. All the others care only for themselves and not for what happens to Jesus. He cared more about Jesus than himself, right? So do you see the... I'll lay out this diagram for you. We should care about ourselves. And Timothy, I'm sure he cared about himself. But then he cared about others more than himself. And he ultimately cared about Jesus more than what other people thought. Thus, why we know in his death, he was beat to death because he cared about Jesus more than the other people. But he also cared about the other people more than themselves because he saw them worshiping the false god. He knew that they would die and go to hell. So he cared about them enough to tell them even if they didn't want to hear. But he also cared about Jesus enough that he wanted to share with them Christ, not just you shouldn't do this, but you need Jesus even if it wasn't popular. He wanted to be faithful with God more than he wanted to be just faithful to his community. He cared about Christ more than he cared about himself. He cared about others more than he cared about himself. That doesn't mean we don't like ourselves and we don't care about ourselves, but we need to get our priorities right. If not, what happens? You're selfish, right? If we put ourselves at the top, that's not good. If we put Jesus at the top and then ourselves and others, that's not even biblical. I don't even think that can work out because Jesus' example is to serve others, right? We need to do that. We need to do that. We need to care more about Jesus. If you think about this, whatever sins that happen in your life that you fall into, whether it's anger, whether your sin is stealing, whatever your sin is, if we cared about Jesus more than our sin, we would stop, wouldn't we? I don't know. If we cared about Jesus more and we cared about what he thought, as he looked in our lives, it would change the way we would live. It would change our lifestyle. Timothy, great man who cared about Jesus more than others. Look at verse 22, the first part. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. He's proved himself. Proved himself to be a faithful minister is your next blank. The neat thing with the life of Timothy and the life of Epaphroditus, we're going to see in a second, are different because Timothy is basically an ordained minister of the gospel. He is a, you could say he's a credential holder, he's ordained, he's full-time ministry, he's a pastor. You know, and as a pastor, he needs to care about others, he needs to care about Christ more than anything else, but he also proved himself to be faithful. If your thought is to become a pastor one day, I know we have some younger people here, I want to encourage you to take this step if you want to be a pastor. Here's step number one, and I'll be honest with you. I've talked to a lot of other people who wanted to be pastors, and they miss step number one. They talk about wanting to be a pastor all the time. Gets on my nerves. Shut up. Take step one and talk to me. And they refuse to take step one is what? Prove yourself to be faithful. Prove yourself to be faithful. Do something to help. Ask your pastor what you need. Serve him and be faithful. Right? Show up and be faithful. Don't say, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be God's gift to the world. Hey, can you help me out with this thing on Thursday? Sure. Don't show. Don't care. I'm going to be a pastor one day. Can you help with something? Sure, no problem. Don't show. Don't care. How about this other thing? You'll help us paint? No, I can't do that. I don't want paint, right? No, you prove yourself to be faithful. Just be around. If you got a heart that's been changed and you want to serve, prove yourself to be faithful. Don't just talk about how much you know the Bible. You need to prove yourself to be faithful. Timothy has proven himself time and time again that when things got hard, he still served God, right? When it was unpopular, he still served God. When his Palm Pilot was jammed full of schedules, he still served God. Proved himself to be faithful. Prove yourself. You know what? Jesus said this, if you're faithful in a few things, I'll make you responsible for greater things, right? That we need to be faithful in the little things first. If there's little things that we need to do and we don't do them, we're not proving ourselves to be faithful. And Jesus isn't going to give you more responsibility until we're faithful in these little things. They might be little things nobody even knows about. But Jesus is watching to see if you're faithful in the little things. Prove yourself to be faithful and then you'll get more responsibility. You don't just end up with responsibility. Prove yourself. So, that's good. That's good. And none of the people I'm talking about as far as wanting to be a pastor that I'm thinking, stop talking to me. They're not here, so they don't go to our church. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Tell me, yeah, you went to Bible college for years and years and years. I don't need to go to Bible college because I'm God's gift to the world. Too bad I don't do anything. Oh, I'm not bitter there. Sorry about that. No, not bitter. Just serve. Just serve. Just love God. Love people. Serve. The Lord will bless you. Work in your heart and He will speak to you. 22 verse part B, the second part. Like a father with his son, he has served me in preaching the good news. Again, the last part here, quickly, he served with a more seasoned minister. Again, Timothy is the pastor here. He cared about others. He cared about Christ, number one. He proved himself to be faithful. And he served with a more seasoned minister. If you want to be a pastor, get underneath of a pastor who has served and ask him to speak into your life. And when he gives you an opportunity, do it faithfully. Listen to him. Allow him to teach you. Always have a teachable heart. And allow him to shape your life. That's worked with me. I sat under several pastors, including, as we know, Pastor Sabella for many, many years. And I just sit, even now, I just sat in his office the other day and just let him pour his life into me. And listen to how he makes decisions about stuff that I haven't even faced yet. To just listen like a sponge. And have him speak into my life. And that's just a good thing, I think, as a pastor. Not that I'm him and not that I would do everything the same way. It's not that. It's not that I have to be different or I can't be myself. I just learn from everybody. But get under a seasoned minister and allow him to speak into your life. We're going to move on to Epaphroditus now. Epaphroditus is a man who loves God. He is not a pastor. Timothy was the pastor. We had his story. I'm going to give you Epaphroditus' story super quick. Epaphroditus was a man from this church in Philippi. He just served the church. He was not a pastor. He was just a lay person. In other words, he's somebody who's not a pastor. He just loves Jesus and shows up and helps with the church and loves the church and loves God, right? Has a normal job. Maybe he made pizzas in town. You know, whatever. He was just a normal guy. Had responsibilities as a family man. And yet he still served God. The city of Philippi got the phone call that Paul is in jail. Paul is in prison because he's preaching the gospel and it's illegal to preach the gospel. He's in prison. The church in Philippi that we're reading, the church that loves Paul so much, the church that Paul started before he went into prison responds to Paul being in prison. They get the phone call. Paul's in jail. Paul's our church planter. He's the one that started our church. That would be like now, 8 years from now, you getting the phone call that I'm in jail for being a Christian. And you would say, that's Pastor Jim. He's our pastor. Hopefully you would say, we love that guy. Some of you might say, glad he's gone. But we'll pretend you'll say, I love that guy. So you'll say, we love that guy. What can we do to help him? He's in jail. Well, let's send him some money. Let's give him some gifts to at least make his jail time more comfortable for him. And break him out. But they couldn't do that. But you're right. Hopefully, if I'm in jail, think about breaking me out at least. Right, Joe? Tie a rope to the back of the General Lee and haul it and knock the wall down. That's it. Right? But they said, we have to bless him. Let's make his time more comfortable. We need somebody to go and take a gift to Paul. This man was Epaphroditus. He's just a guy who loves Jesus. If you asked him, what's on your resume? I'm just a guy who loves Jesus. That's it. He's not a pastor, but he's still serving Jesus. Is it important to just have guys who just serve Jesus and just have ladies who just serve Jesus? Absolutely. And they're going to be a blessing to their church planter, to Paul, their pastor, Pastor Paul, the guy who started their church. He goes there to serve. Meets up with Paul. Their jail system was a little bit different, so he was allowed to go visit Paul. He was allowed to take Paul like blankets or whatever he needed. This was a jail cell that was just nasty. It was just brick. It was horrible. So they wanted to go and be a blessing and minister to Paul. They sent this guy who just loved Jesus to go. he goes, and at some point in his work of ministering to Paul, just encouraging Paul, he gets sick. He gets so sick that he almost dies. Yet he still says, I will continue and minister to Paul, my pastor. I love my pastor, and I love the church that he started, and he's hurting even if I die in the process. I'm going to do what my church asked me to do. They asked me to go and help Paul. Even if I'm sick and dying, I'm going to go and help Paul and do what I can. So let's go ahead and read what Paul says about him. Make some application, and we'll be closing today. Verse 25, meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He is my true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. He was your messenger to help me in my need. I am sending him because he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and also on me, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. So I am all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know you will be glad to see him. Then I will not be so worried about you. Welcome him with Christian love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve. For he risks his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. A few things to apply from Epaphroditus' life. The first one, it says he was a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. True brother meaning that he really had the same heart that Paul had. He just wanted to serve others and just really, he was united with Paul in their heart to minister. Faith or co-worker, meaning not only did he have the heart to do it, but he had the back to do it, if you will. He decided, I wanted to help in this ministry. Not like you turn on the TV and they have the ads for the hungry children and you say, wow, that stinks, they don't have any food. Oh, wrestling's on, you know? And you just completely switch it. Now, I understand we can't give to all those ministries. It wouldn't be possible. But it's not like you kind of have the heart, but you're never going to do anything to help. He had the heart, Epaphroditus did. But he also was a co-worker. He didn't just stop at, I feel for you, man. But he said, what can I do to help you? Cool. The next thing is, he was a fellow soldier. Even worse. I mean, even greater than that. Not only did he have a heart as a brother, not only did he roll up his sleeves to help, but he said, I will go to battle with you, Paul. Whatever you need, I will fight if it costs me my life. I would hope someday that somebody would say that I was a true brother, that I was a co-worker, but also I was a fellow soldier in the Lord. High praise. High praise. May all of us be known as those things. Or fellow sister, obviously, if you're a lady, but you know that your heart is in it. You roll up your sleeves to help. And you know what? No matter what it costs you, we will fight this war. The Bible says there is a spiritual war, isn't there? If we don't understand that, we're foolish. The devil is alive and he wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your family. He does. He wants to destroy you. Jesus died on the cross to give us victory over things. There's a real battle. And he was a soldier. And I pray that we would all be soldiers of the cross and move forward. 25 verse, the second part of that, he served his local church. He served his local church. He was your messenger to help me in my need. He wasn't a pastor. He just wanted to serve the church. There was a need. Perhaps they sat around with their board or after a church service, and they made the announcement that they got the phone call that Paul was in jail. And they said, we need to do something to help him. What do we do? What can we do? Let's at least get some money together to help Paul. And they took an offering and they wanted to provide for his needs. They needed somebody to go to take time off from their work and deliver this gift, somebody who is trustworthy. And Epaphroditus said, I'll do that. I'll take my vacation time. I need to go help my pastor. And he did that. And he served his local church. Sometimes people want to be great with God, and they don't even show up to their local church, let alone serve their local church. I guarantee you, God has called us all to serve the church. I'll pull out the verses if you like. That God called us, as Hebrews says, to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We need to get together as a church. And we need to serve and love God and encourage each other, right? Church is important. And he served the church. What a great example. Moving on, just a few other things in his life. He had a heart for his church. Not only did he serve his church, but he cared. Verse 26, I'm sending him to you because he's longing to see you. He's longing to see you. He cared about his church. He was away for some time, and he's sitting back saying, I wonder how Brian's doing. I wonder how Joel's doing. I wonder about Ruth Ann. How's she doing, right? How's Olga doing? We've been praying for her. I want to know. I got to get back there to hug my church. Am I right? Wonder how Renee is doing. I'm not there to pray for Bill. He's really missing me, I'm sure, right? He had a heart for his church. Look at the second part. He was very distressed that you heard he was ill. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died, but God had mercy on him. He had great humility. He had great humility. He loved his church, but he didn't even want them to find out that he was sick. Why? Because he wanted all praise to go to God. He didn't want the people in his church to say, Epaphroditus is awesome. He was sick and he's still going forward. Yeah, Epaphroditus! He didn't want any of that. He wanted all the glory to go to God. He was sick. He's still moving forward. People say, man, you need to take a break. No. I'm here representing my church to pour my love out upon my pastor. You need to take a break. You need to rest up. I'm fine. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to serve God. I'm fine. You know? Kept moving forward. Didn't want anybody to say, look how great you are. I'm not great. I'm serving Paul. I'm serving Jesus. I don't care. I'm serving Jesus. Had great humility. Didn't even want people to know he's sick. What a great example. Now that doesn't mean don't tell me when you're sick because I want to pray for you. But I think we get a glimpse of his heart here. That his heart was to glorify Jesus. Almost done. The next one. Trustworthy. Trustworthy. Look at this great phrase. I am all the more anxious, in verse 28, to send him back to you. For I know you'll be glad to see him, and then I will not be so worried about you. I would not be so worried. Because he is trustworthy. Paul says, when I send Epaphroditus back, I know that the church is going to be okay. Because he's important to the church. He's not a pastor, but he's trustworthy. In other words, I can entrust the church into his hands. What an awesome thing to be called trustworthy. Does that happen overnight? That takes time, doesn't it? It takes time to show up and be faithful, to prove yourself to be faithful in the same way Timothy did. It takes time. And Epaphroditus, the normal, everyday guy who loved Jesus, proved himself to be trustworthy. Lastly, he was faithful to the mission regardless of personal cost. We've kind of touched on this, but look at verse 30. He risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. He risked his life. He was at the point of death, right? But he still continued to be faithful regardless of personal cost. Great man of faith. And you know what? I think Epaphroditus' mom, although we don't see her in Scripture, I bet you she was awesome. But we know for a fact, Timothy's mom was awesome. We see the lives of two great men who at least one of them we see was greatly shaped by the mother's hand, the guiding hand in her life. No, Jesus' mom was awesome too. You're right. No, you're right. You're right. If you see in the picture of the two hands, it's not a mom holding the hand of a baby. I think it's a mom holding the hand of an adult who they've been holding that hand for many years. If you're a mother and your child are grown, you're still holding their hand even if they're 1,000 miles away. You're still the mom. You're still shaping their lives. Even if they don't call you today, you're still shaping their lives. So we thank God for that. And we thank God for mothers that have shaped men and women today. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. And I want to pray for the mothers today. God's special blessing upon them, and that we would give them the honor they deserve. Hallelujah. Jesus, we pray for the moms today, that You would bless them. Lord, that they would have a great day, that You would let them know how important they are, and You would flood their hearts and fill them with joy today. We give honor to them, Lord. I thank You for the power that You have given them to change and impact lives through their guiding hand. For those whose children are older, who are older, Lord, I pray that You would bless them and help them to love their kids and pray for their kids, as now their role has changed from what it used to be when their children were small, but they're still a mom nonetheless. Help them, Lord, to serve You as a mother. For those whose children are still young, I pray that You would help them, Lord, to serve You as a mother of young children, that they would shape their lives, that they would have wisdom, and that they would take a stand for You, and help them to understand when it's time to just listen to their children a little bit, and when it's time to just say, no, this is what God wants. Give us wisdom, Lord. As parents, mothers especially today, we give them honor. Help us all to apply the Word today and to live more for You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Bless us, Lord. Keep us safe. In Christ's name. Amen.